Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
It is Wellness Wednesday, and this is Elder Care Radio, where we try and bring information and knowledge to the community about senior care and how that may be a little different.
And Andy, I would have taken your live introduction, and you could have gone ding, 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 ding,
ding. I didn't even have any music ready or anything. So.
Well, we would have loved to have heard it from you, straight from your
heart. I could have sang, yeah.
Yeah, we're adaptive here.
We are. And
I want to say that, you almost washing your car this week. I almost do a lot of things, too, and I think that's great.
Well, he did wash it.
I did wash it.
Oh, you did?
He did.
I thought I heard you say you almost washed it.
No, he did, so he knows there's going to be rain.
Well, then my comment doesn't make any sense.
Just to dirty your car, right?
I took the Mustang out and got it all clean, so I know it's going to rain for sure.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate that, because a while ago, everybody was praying for rain, and you didn't wash your car then?
I did. Well, it's been in the garage. I've been using a company vehicle.
Should have been part of that statewide fast we were asked to
That's
do.
Right.
Fast and wash your car.
And prayer.
Spencer should have given me a call. Said, hey, Andy, we need you to wash your car.
Right.
So. I will mention that next time I see him.
Okay, good.
So today, we're just excited to be here and share information with the community. And hope.
I'm excited that 111 degrees is behind us.
That's right. It's going to be a beautiful day
today. It's ahead of us, too, but at least it's not here.
It's a nice reprieve.
Right now, we're just in the sweet spot, so get out and enjoy it. In fact, that's what we'd recommend. We want to kind of address some really critical issues for people that we hope that people understand, but we want to go into a little detail and maybe get these conversations happening with people who haven't heard us on the radio. If you know anybody that isn't listening to this program right now, and I don't know that there is anybody that's not listening to this program. But if you can find somebody, if you go out and canvas your neighborhood and find somebody who did not hear this radio broadcast, talk to them about this. And that is being your own best medical advocate, being more involved in your health care and trying to get better information and better decision making. And that starts right at home. A pretty easy thing to start with is just looking at your own med profile. Take all the medications that you have and realize that maybe some of them aren't necessary anymore. It's really important for us to understand, and we should ask these questions right when the doctor prescribes something, and just ask the simple question, is this a long-term or a short-term drug?
And I want you to drop a little knowledge on us again, Richard. The average doctor sees how many patients?
Between 18 and 2,100 patients.
2,000 patients? How is he going to remember you?
That's right. He can't remember you individually. Now, they do take records and they write things down so that they can maybe have some conversational points to talk with you and make you feel comfortable. But really, that's the monetary requirement, 1,800 to 2,000 patients. And many of them they don't see for 6 months or a year or 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Of course, they read through your quick, summary before they walk into
your
room.
Yeah, we're not dogging doctors, but they're busy people.
Right.
Exactly right. And so they see your face and they might, of course, they recognize you from, growing up, from history. So they might remember things like your son went on a mission to Africa, or you have a daughter going to MIT.
But are they going to remember the dose of Pramipexol they just prescribed you or whatever?
Or how long ago they gave you a medication and which ones you're still on. Those things, no.
That's right.
Did they take your gallbladder out, 5 years ago? No, probably not.
Especially if they're gallbladder surgery people, and that's all they do, or one of the things they do most of the time.
How many of those would they have done?
Yeah, and in all the things, when we do something every day, do we remember every time we did it? No, it's not that case. And so it's important to understand your doctor's position and to be in a position to help him or her. When you're having that introductory conversation, they're asking you questions, about your life and, your son that got married last year or whatever, and don't be afraid to lead that conversation to something that he may be a little more comfortable with, and that is your own healthcare, and bring your information to him. Present it at his feet and allow that conversation to start, because they are well-versed in that area. They just need an introductory, start.
Little prompters. And again, it's not trashing the doctors. It's remembering who you're speaking to, right?
I would almost think, Kaylee, that doctors would appreciate
because
they're trying to remember everything, but they can't. But you're you. You remember about you.
Right.
So,
and the details of you, because it's relative and pertinent and, important to you. We actually had a call from a lady that works at a doctor's office, podiatry. Yep. And she said, hey, when you're on the air and you're talking about, you know, asking questions and being prepared for your appointment, will you remind people just what we're talking about here, but also that they need to bring their entire medication profile in, and that we have an obligation as physicians, whether we're podiatrists or, you know, ear doctors, we have to take a screenshot, your blood pressure, your weight, your vital records. And why? As physicians, they're constantly tracking that information and inputting it into their system so that they have a baseline. If you showed up at a podiatrist's office and your blood pressure was out of control, they'd immediately send you over to your doctor or quick care. So doctors are on our side. They're, you know, an important tool, but we have to use them to our benefit. We have to remember who they are and what their role is, but only we know ourselves.
That's right. And that's an interesting point. You know, every physician we see, and we see many of them now, you know, as we get older, we may have three or four specialists that we're dealing with. Each of them may be prescribing a drug that might have an effect on one other part of our body. And then the doctor who's dealing with that should know that you're taking that drug so that he can adapt your care or work towards, you know, removing that and going in a different direction. So if we, and there are so many different examples of drugs that we're not going to try and give some specifics, but let's say that you are suffering from congestive heart failure and you've got, you know, a drug protocol that also affects your kidneys and your kidney doctor knows that your kidneys are weak. Well, it would make sense to try and make that adjustment. But if they don't know the prescriptions you take, they can't, you know, make those recommendations and adjustments.
And one doctor is not going to countermand the other doctor.
No.
So you really do have to take control yourself. You have to take your entire profile to every doctor and let them know what you're on. Ask questions. Ask very specifically, do any of my drugs have negative interactions? And if so, which ones and which doctor should I go back to and talk to see if there's another one? Because there are alternative medicines.
Can I give you a personal example?
We'd love it.
I take a drug. I mentioned it a minute ago, Pramipexole. It's for restless legs. I have restless legs. For a long time, for about a year now, I've been getting really sore, stiff muscles for no, like I'll sit for 5 minutes and I'm just locked up. And so I when I was seeing neurologists and stuff about my back problems, he's like, oh, that's really weird. That's a weird thing. He didn't know I was on Pramipexole.
Right.
But as it turns out, as I did my own research for my own plan of care, I found out that one of the rare side effects of Pramipexole is stiffness and sore muscles. And so I'm like, well, duh. But there's no way another doctor would have figured that out. That had to be me taking my own plan of care.
You're exactly right. And that's true for every drug. They all have interactions and side effects that aren't positive. And so that's another part of this. If you know the drug protocol that you're on, and you know, and these are the things most people don't know, what's the real goal of this drug? Is it working for me? And you're the best person to measure that. Is it accomplishing its task? And is it still accomplishing the task or have things changed? Mm-hmm. And so we should be constantly reviewing that and making sure. And we are the best sensor that a doctor has as to what is effective and is not. And so if we can know what those drugs are, so these are the important things to consider. First, is the drug a long-term or a short-term drug? Okay?
And you might be surprised, most drugs are intended for the short term.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're intended to treat something while they're fixing something else, right? Perhaps mask a symptom or relieve a symptom while they address a different issue. So you must be in control and let your doctor constantly know, I'm still on this drug. But you would only know to mention that if when it was prescribed you asked, is this for the short term or is it the long term? And then make a note of that, intended for the short term.
And once we know that it's a short-term drug, we should know exactly what we're trying to solve. And we can tell when that problem is solved normally. So if it's for pain, an opioid of some kind, and we are prescribed that opioid because we have pain, we should probably figure out when we don't have that pain anymore, not just be on that drug. We've got, you know, plenty of examples in our history. We had a patient who, you know, had a number of different doctors, was on was on 5 separate pain medications, was taking them all, and she wasn't in pain. But she didn't know. Nobody looked at that and said, well, what are all these drugs? Because they're all different and they're all kind of confusing names, and so nobody clocked that out. But once we looked at the medical history and the records and said, well, okay, so there are 5 pain medications and multiple blood pressure meds and things like that, and our doctor reviewed the whole thing and said, well, there's no reason for all of this. We took her off of all of the pain meds because she wasn't in any pain, and did Advil, you know, as needed. And the Latin term for that is PRN, Prorenata, just, you know, to add to that that vocabulary we keep. So PRN, if you ever see that on your drugs, that means as needed. Okay. Take it, you know, when you're in pain. And a lot of times opioids might be that. So she got off of all of that, and her health improved in so many ways. Her kidney function improved. Her mental capacity was enormously expanded. She was actually able to understand what was going on in her life, and that was important.
Her dementia score went down. She was doing so much better.
Yeah, she really was. And so these are the things that most people don't realize, and so many of us, as we've gotten older and are taking more and more drugs, may not understand that, again, first deal is it a short-term drug? And if it's a short-term drug, figure out when that should be done. And then we look at the long-term drugs, and it's not that if you're in a long-term drug, it's going to be the same thing forever. Most of the time, drugs change their effectiveness, and we change our ability to take advantage of those over time, and those drugs may need to be changed. So if you have a long-term drug, you should understand, A, what it's trying to fix, be able to tell, you know, what the symptoms would be when it's not working properly. And, you know, Andy, in your case, when you started getting those pains in your legs, that's an indicator. And those are questions your doctor may be able to answer up front and that give you something to look for. And then once you experience that lack of success, and we'll use blood pressure. I think a lot of people in the community have a blood pressure issue.
Sure.
I do, and I'm taking lisinopril, and that's kind of an entry-level, you know, solution. At the point that my blood pressure no longer is regulated, I'm going to have to make a change. I can't keep saying, oh, well, just, you know, lisinopril will cover that. But if we're not tracking it.
Just imagine this. And this actually happened to one of our patients. So blood pressure medicine. So you're on lisinopril and you're on for quite some time. And you go into the doctor and you are consistently high. Now, you don't know that because you don't track that every day at home. So he puts you on a blood pressure medicine. Now, you may have forgotten that lisinopril was what you're on for your blood pressure. So you get a different blood pressure medicine. Now you're on 2. Those things happen all the time. This is why we're talking about bring your medical profile with you.
Right.
If you need help writing out your medical profile, we're happy to help you. Give our office a call. There are forms, there are little cards that you can complete, and it needs to be updated regularly. That should be taken to every doctor with you, whether it's an eye doctor, an ear doctor, a foot doctor, or your primary care doctor or specialist. Take your entire medical profile, medication profile with you every time. I would advise that when you go to pick up a medication, ask your pharmacist if he notices anything. Is it ever bad to have a second opinion or a different outside view?
That's actually one of the responsibilities that a pharmacist has, is to compare the drugs that you're being prescribed with the ones you're already on. Now, if you have used the same pharmacy since the beginning of your healthcare odyssey, then that may be effective for you. However, when we are jumping around from pharmacy to pharmacy out of convenience because that's the store I'm going to be at shopping, or because of cost and you know, this one has a significantly lower price on it, that one pharmacist doesn't get to see your whole medical profile unless, of course, you bring it to them.
Well, and can I also just remind you that if a pharmacist gets a prescription from a doctor, he isn't necessarily looking over your history and saying you're still on this one, you're not on this one. Because remember, when you go home with your medication, if something went wrong with it or it stopped working or you had adverse effects and you call your doctor's office and they call in a different medication, the pharmacist has no way of knowing that. So he doesn't know if something in your history is something that you're still taking or that you took once. So again, medication profile, even with the pharmacist, so that he knows what your current medication profile is. And then he's happy to review it.
You know, today, if you're planning on going to see your doctor or your pharmacist for any particular reason and you don't have that list written out, line up all of the bottles that you have on the counter and take a picture of the whole
thing.
Take
a picture, yeah.
Just take a picture of that. That's a fine place to start because most of the information will be available. Just make sure that you can see the number or the name of the product and the quantity that you're taking or know
the
that.
The dosage, yes.
Yeah. And if you do that, then you're going to be much better off going and have those conversations. Those are worthwhile conversations, no question. And I would say that if I was asking for a referral to a pharmacy and somebody told me, well, my pharmacist actually, every time I get a prescription, they do check my profile. If a patient knew that, that would be a respectable, very good pharmacy to consider using at any cost. Because it's important. It is life-threatening if we don't realize that drugs have counteractivities. You know, sometimes one drug adversely affects another or diminishes its ability to do its job.
We did a lot of research on pharmacies, and that's one of the things that I love about my first choice pharmacy, and I won't say it over the air, but I just absolutely love them because they are so willing and they will take that time. And if you come in with your medication profile, everything written out, they will talk to you about. Now, they won't say, oh, stop taking this, because that's not their role, right? But they'll say, you want to ask your doctor about this one with this one. Maybe take, or they'll say, take this one 2 hours before you take this one or 4 hours after you take this one. So they're very, very helpful that way. And those are things that we don't all know.
Well, in fact,
we need that help.
If we go just a little deeper in this, if you were to talk to anybody who's knowledgeable in the industry, whether that's a pharmacy or a physician, and you ask them about drugs, there are reasons these drugs are prescribed directly, and those are on-label drugs. These are the things that those drugs can be issued for. And then there are off-label uses, and those are things that weren't actually approved by the Food and Drug Administration, but doctors have had enough good experience using that it may be worthwhile. You should know what your drug is actually used for you, whether that's
important
an on-label
fact.
Purpose.
That's a really important point.
Or if it's off-label. And just because it's being used off-label doesn't make it bad. It just didn't go through the same vetting process that it would have for an on-label use. So if it works, great. And these are all the details that we should all know about our medical history. And if you are the person in charge of somebody else's medical conditions, if you're the spouse or the caregiver or you have a medical power of attorney or general power of attorney, I would highly recommend that you take the time to go through this process one time, get this taken care of, find out what all the meds are, see if we can clean up the use of those, reduce the amount of drugs that are going into people's bodies when it's appropriate, and we'll all live better lives. There's no question, because there is no drug out there that just provides a great benefit. There are always problems that may come with them.
Adverse side effects.
Yeah. So it's really important that we try and do that. So we hope that we can give you a simple path. This doesn't have to be complicated. There's no computer programming involved or anything like that. It's just write it down. If you have a card that this all goes on, that's great. If all you have is a yellow pad, write them down. Write down the name of the drug, either the brand or the generic version of it. Write down the number of pills you're taking and what time of day you take them.
And what you're taking it for.
Yeah.
What you're taking it for is also very, very important.
And if you don't know, leave that blank on the page so that you can fill that out.
That's a question to ask your doctor.
So those are all, we hope that's enough of a start on that you can move down that road. And now when we're talking about being your own best medical advocate, certainly talking to your doctor about the drugs that you have is important. Drugs is only part of your medical condition and history, and so you should also have a full understanding of your medical conditions. What we have found as we've talked to more and more people is that many of them are not aware. They are aware of some of them that required their own personal intervention, okay? Maybe they know that they have diabetes because they're taking insulin for it, but they may not know that they have congestive heart failure, even though they have been tested for it and that's been the case.
Right. You may be looking at your labs or your test results, and do you really understand what a high creatinine level is or a bun level that's, you know, high or low?
Right.
Do those things indicate to you whether you have congestive heart failure or kidney disease? No, for most people it doesn't. So if you're just requesting your labs or your medical records, that's not enough. So get a pen and paper and write this down. What do you ask for, Richard?
So there are four parts of your medical record that you'd really like to have. The test results is one of those, right? That's your labs. The second one, of course, is your medical history. That's going to be the visits that were made and the determinations that were found from that.
That'll have diagnoses on it.
And those are going to be pretty straightforward. And then the other two things that you really want to have, and these are where you're going to get the most information, is your doctor's narratives. And that's where your doctor's actually making his own notes. He's trying to paint a picture that somebody else could read and really understand your medical condition. He's not going to say, well, here's all the labs and you figure it out. He's going to say, no, this is exactly what I see and it's a very good picture. And if you get that, you'll have a very good picture. And then the next part of that is the results or what the action plan is. And that's called a plan of care. So if the doctor sees that you have a medical condition and he creates a plan of care for you, those two, the narratives and the plan of care, are going to be the most important part of all of the information that you can receive. So ask for those and ask for them specifically.
Right. Remember, because that is the doctor's kind of setting this story for themselves, they don't give that readily unless you specifically ask for it. If you ask for your medical history, they'll give you test results and your appointments in the past and those kind of, you know, diagnoses and things. But let's say that he's trying something. Remember, we call it medical practicing medicine, yeah. Right? It's a medical practice because not everybody reacts the same way to treatments. Not everybody has the same long-term results. People's bodies adapt to things quickly. So it's in that plan of care and that narrative that the doctor might say something like, we're going to try this procedure for 90 days. If this doesn't, you know, work or it doesn't meet all the requirements, then we're going to try this one. That's really important for you to know, right? Because that's the notes that we're talking about. If he didn't see that note when you walked in the room again and it's been 90 days, he may not have looked at that last note right before he walked into your room. Or he's busy in conversation and just oversaw it. So you have to advocate for yourself. You need to bring all those things up and say, hey, how am I doing on this? Is it time to change? Where's my status? Have we overcome this problem now? Can I stop taking this med? You need to advocate for yourself. That is your job. You do not just turn that over to your doctor and think that, you know, he's responsible for it. You play an active role in your care, and you know through intuition and how your body's responding better than the doctor does.
Because every job will be done better when somebody has oversight. One small little thing, when you do get your lab results, you'll probably notice that some of those are bold and some of them are not. And this is just one of those little things that the lab company makes it easy for the doctor to figure out this is information you should have. If it's bold, it's going to be out of the norm. And so those are the things you should be looking for, because I've looked at lab results and it's just overwhelmingly mundane and you can't figure it out because it's just a bunch of numbers. But anything that's bold, those are the issues that you want to deal with. So we are Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. We love being here on the radio and helping the community, and hopefully we're doing some good things. Give us a call. Help us help you. If you have any questions, we'd love to answer those. Our telephone number, 435-477-6999. We will take those calls anytime, day or night. You can test us on that if you need to.
Answer your questions, and we'll help you find resources to live a better life.
We look forward to being here next week with you and continuing this conversation. But let us know what are the important things for you over this week. Thank you very much.